Good to be home.
I said it's good to be home. Always good to be home. And look out. Thank you, Mark, for your serving the Lord last week. I hear you. A lot of good comments. Message. We appreciate it. We do. So. Glad that Bud is doing well. Bud has not had a transfusion now for quite a length of time. So we praise God that he's hearing our prayers. Amen. Amen. We need to keep praying for one another. That's where the power is, no question about it. So, Mel and I thank you for your prayers because we had some bad weather. I mean, it was horrible, terrible storms. You know, I mean, it was like sheets. You couldn't even see hardly at all. But your prayers got us home. So we just really want to thank you for that very, very much. And appreciate all your prayers. We do. We've been looking at maintaining the unity of the Spirit and a bond of peace. And that is our responsibility as God's people. We are to preserve the unity, meaning that the unity had already been created, had already been substantiated by the time that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. He mentioned seven basic doctrinal issues. So far we have looked at the first one, which is the body of Christ, over which he is the head over all things to the church. That is his body. We evaluated that there is only one body, as there is only one head, and that you and I are individually members of this body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the ear cannot say to the eye, I have no need of you. We are all uniquely been fitted by God into the body of Christ to be used of him to his glory, to his honor, and to his purpose. There is no one that is a member of the body of Christ that has not a ministry to be performed to the rest and for the benefit of the rest of the body. We have seen very clearly that there is only one Spirit that is inhabiting that body, the Holy Spirit, a gift from God. And that Spirit was given to empower us so that we could live in a world that is filled with the power of evil, the power of the prince of the world. We live in his world. But we have been separated from that world because when you were immersed into Christ, you were transformed by God out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. The church is also referred to as the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, etc. You and I are the kingdom. That means we have a king. That means we're citizens in this kingdom, over which Jesus has been exalted and set up to be the king. So there's only one Holy Spirit. You are to have, and your body has become the temple of the living God. And do you not know that he is dwelling in you? Each individual one of us is a temple. And God's Spirit lives in us to empower us in our prayer life, in overcoming the flesh, and overcoming Satan, and overcoming the world. It is in him and through him and by him alone that we are overcoming. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Satan can't win in my personal life. He's a loser. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Now either we believe that or we don't. I believe it. I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This one body that is indeed filled with the Spirit of the living God has only one hope. And that hope is to become the helmet of your salvation. That hope is your inheritance. That hope is eternal life. It is what God has laid in store, and Jesus is out there preparing a place for every one of us so that someday, where he is, we're going to be there. That's our hope, amen? That's our hope. And so as you and I think of the body of Christ, the Spirit of Christ living in us, the hope that we have, then there's no doubt as we look at the seven, the next aspect is there is only one Lord. There's only one Lord. In our text in Philippians, it read, and indeed it clearly shows that God has exalted him. So my question to you, first of all, is how do you wish to know Jesus Christ? How do you wish to know him? You want to know him as a Savior? You want to know him as a prophet? You want to know him as your great high priest? You want to know him as a king? Because to know Christ is to know life, abundant life. That's what he came to give us. Life abundant. How do you want to know him? Let me ask you another question. As a member of the body of Christ, how many of you want to know him as Lord? As Lord. As Lord. So our text, we've seen very clearly, if you will, that Jesus indeed is Lord. It says that you and I had the attitude that was in Christ. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. The word empty means he just simply just disposed of himself of who he was as the Son of God. He just emptied himself. He became an empty vessel. An empty vessel to be used of God in the world in which he came to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. You and I need to empty ourselves so that God can fill up our body, our temple, with the fullness of his presence. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to have the fullness of God dwelling in us as individual members of the body of Christ. The only way that is you've got to take every room in your house, your body, your heart, empty it. So the Spirit of God can come and fill you with his presence and take over and become the Lord. Until you empty every aspect, empty yourself of yourself, until you are crucified with Christ and you don't live anymore, you cannot know the fullness of being and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. So he emptied himself, took the form of a bondservant. A bondservant was one who had no home, no possession, no identity, no nothing. Not a slave, a bondservant. It's a difference between being a slave and a bondservant. A bondservant had no country, no name, no family, no nothing. He literally became emptied of everything that this world could offer to him. Being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance, he humbled himself, had the attitude of Christ. What have we been saying? The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in proper time. Humble. God resists the proud, but God exalts the humble. You and I have to be humbled. Humbled before God. The only way you're going to be humbled is that you really truly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? Well, let's look at it. By being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Okay. Can we move down, Chris? All right. How do I do that? Let me see. Did I pass along? Now, for this reason, God highly exalted him. Remember, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. God exalted his Son. He will exalt you and me. In proper time, God will lift you up above this world and above every aspect of it. He'll exalt you. And someday, you're going to be exalted to the right hand of God and be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that a hope? Well, sure it is. So, in the name, and every bestowed on him a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean under the earth? Well, that's where the dead are. Some are in paradise, some are in Tartarus, some are in a place of torment, some are in paradise. All those are going to be raised from the grave. Isn't that what the Bible says? Dead in Christ will be raised first, right? We are in the lot. Where are they? Where are the spirits of the dead? I believe they're in under the earth. There's a place, an abyss, wherever. It's a pit. That's why the demons that were in the pig, the swine, said and begged Jesus, don't throw us into the pit. That is where the angels who have fallen are reserved and chained until the judgment day. All of them are going to come forth and made alive together for the purpose of the judgment day. And that's all going to occur. And so when he comes, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Why would we bow? Because he's Lord. We will bow. Everyone will. You will and I will. We're going to bow our knees to him. He because he is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee will bow. And so when you and I think of all the aspects of that, I just really wanted to know that it will happen to the glory of God. It's God who exalted him. It's God who has given him a name above every name. It's God who has set him on the right hand on David's throne. It's God who exalted him to be our great high priest. And it's God that's all and will receive all the glory. Amen? God will see the glory. Luke 6:46, Jesus asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? And do not do the things that I have told you." It's interesting, isn't it? So if we've made him a Lord, then we will be obeying his commandments. Amen? We don't question him. We don't have to have a reason. If Jesus said it, commands it, we obey. We just obey. Why? Because he's Lord. He's Lord. And the aspects of that, we have to trust him. So as you look at that aspect, let's look at another picture. Turn to Revelation for a minute. Chapter 1. And work with me through beginning at verse 12, chapter 1. Because here is a picture of Jesus. This is an unbelievable, beautiful picture of our Lord. And John sees it, and the Spirit moves him to write what he sees. This is what he sees. Number one, it says, if you read Revelation 1, verse 12, okay? Revelation 1, verse 12. Are you there? Raise your hand. Okay? So everybody will follow along. What does it say? It says that his hair is what? White as white as wool. It's a picture of this person that he sees. He's got beautiful white hair, Joe. Glorious white hair. Okay? And the aspects is that's what he sees. What in the world is he identifying in the aspect of this person that he sees? Well, the aspect is that it's showing his eternal nature. It's showing that he is I am. I have been, I am, and I will always be. That's what is expressed in the beautiful hair. Jesus said himself, "Behold, before Abraham, I am. I am, meaning I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am." Time and time again, he said, "I am." When Moses said to God, "Who shall I say sent me?" Tell him, "I am sent you." I am always represents eternal. Has been, always has been, is, and always will be. He's eternal. So this one he sees is an eternal being. His eyes are like what? Look at it. Flames of fire. Flames of fire showing his ability to see and know all things. He knows every thought before you think it. He knows everything that you imagine, every aspect of your being. There is nothing hidden from his sight. His eyes are like burning, penetrating fire. The eyes of this one, Jesus, the Lord. He sees it. He's the Lord of the past. He's the Lord of the present. He's the Lord of the future. He knows you. He knows every hair that drops from your head. You know that? He knows every sparrow that falls. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. Nothing. Thirdly, his feet are like what? Fine brass. What's that say? Brass was always representative of the nature of righteousness. Showing that this one that is being pictured is righteous. He is fully, totally obedient to the God of his Father who sent him. And it's by his righteousness that you and I are saved. You know that, don't you? By the righteousness of this one who is Lord, you are going to be saved. God, every time you obey every command of God, imputes Jesus' righteousness and clothes you with it. Your righteousness is like filthy rags in the eyes of God. And you will only be saved by the fact that you have been clothed by God and your obedience to his word. Righteousness is obedient. Blessed are the righteous. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Paul said in Galatians 3:27, "Do you not know that every one of you that have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ, have put on Christ?" Okay? Now think about it. Here he is, the righteous one. And because you're in his body, the body of Christ, you're hidden in him. You're part of this unbelieving, pure body of Jesus who was obedient to the Father, was righteous in every way. When God looks at you and me, he doesn't see you and me. He sees Christ. He sees Christ's body. He sees that holy, living dynamite of the Lord, his Son, whom he has exalted. You'll be saved because you're in the body of Christ. And you are clothed, and God looks at you now. You're hid in Christ. You're dead. You don't exist anymore. It's Christ who lives in you. He's the hope of glory. He's the hope of glory. And so he can look at the aspect of his righteousness. Thank God that that righteousness has been given to you in your obedience to God's will. Notice next, his voice is like what? Sound of the rushing water. The aspects of it. Look at him as Lord. Look at his majesty. He created all things. By him and in through him all things were made. And God has exalted him. Remember when God said at his transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. John 5:25. Listen to what it says. There is a day coming when all that are in the grave will hear his voice, the voice of the Son of God, and will come forth. The voice. The power of the spoken word, but the voice of the Son of God will someday echo throughout all, and all that are dead are going to hear his voice, and they're going to come forth. That's what it says. Number five, he had seven stars in his right hand. Seven, again, meaning perfect, complete. The aspects of that showing what? His power. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, "All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Isn't that what he said? Nobody else possesses that power. Only Jesus did. And showing that power, we know then that we, because of his children, we have access to that power. Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. God is able to do far and abundantly beyond what you dream or you ask through the power that is at work in us. People, we are filled with the power of God. The same power that said, "Let there be light," dwells in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Come on, people. We are the body of Christ. We are filled with his Spirit. We have hope that we live for. And we have Jesus Christ as our Lord. He's the Lord. You know what? And being his Lordship, he is the very image of the invisible God, the firstborn of his creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Nothing exists that God has not allowed to exist that is not fulfilling God's eternal purpose. Nothing. And I believe that. And all of that does to Bill Horton is show his preeminence over any government, any king, any ruler, any religion, whatever. Because every knee, I don't care what the religion is, every person has ever been born, someday is going to bow their knee to the Son of God, and he and know and God has made him to be Lord. You better do it today. Wouldn't it be better to bow your knee before him today and acknowledge him to be God's exalted one that died for you, shed his blood for you, that you could have life, hope to live by? Out of his mouth went a sword. Now what it says? Look at it. Out of the mouth of this one went a sword. What does the Bible say? The word of God is alive. It's active. This is not dead words. This is alive. This words of God are living words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, Jesus said. Never will it. And so this word is alive and it's active. It pierces asunder the joints and the marrow as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And by the way, at the judgment day, this book is going to be open. And this book will be used by the Son of God as Lord to judge those who are not in His kingdom. That's what it says. It's by this word.